We can't do a show called Ecotopia without talking about the visionary novel of that title by a guy named Ernst Kallenbach. Our producer, Charles Monroe Kane, once tried living out some of those ideas, at least for a few weeks. Charles, start by reminding us, what was this book?
Well, it's an amazing science fiction book, Ecotopia, which what it sounds like. It's an ecological utopia written in 1974. It's like a guidebook. It's like setting up the principles of how to live in harmony with nature. And part of living in harmony with nature is living in harmony with each other, because war is certainly bad for the environment. And so it's kind of like a blueprint of how to live in this perfect world that's set in the future by people who are already living it.
So it's a big world vision.
It's a world vision. And I worked for this organization in Europe back in 1991 when I was a young 22-year-old. And the founder of the organization was so inspired by the book when it first came out, he created Ecotopia. And he would do it in a different country every year, different European country every year. And young people, mostly college students, would get together and try to live the ideals of the book.
What do you mean he created Ecotopia?
He would pick a country, he'd find a spot, and he would say, okay, everybody meet me June 1st for 6 weeks, and everyone read the book before you come. And let's try to live the ideals that are inside the book.
And you did this?
Absolutely. Not only did I just do it, I did it for a living. I was the organizer of Ecotopia for Bulgaria in 1992. I was living in Amsterdam, and that's what I did.
So you guys, all of you young people, created this giant, I picture some giant camp in the mud with everybody hoping that they're going to save the world.
Yes. You're completely correct. Keep guessing. Maybe we'll get the whole thing right. I don't have to talk at all. Yeah. 1,000 or more people show up in Bulgaria.
So what did you do?
There are a couple of things. I had to have a foundation for everyone. You had to have a place to go to the bathroom so we wouldn't get cholera. It was reasonable, right? You had to have clean drinking water, and we had to feed people. That's it. That's what we offered. So we had to have solar panels to clean water. We had to have, you know, vegan food for everyone, 3 meals a day for 1,000 people is no small feat. And then, you know, like I said, you had to have porta potties. We used the methane gas from the porta potties to fuel the food cooking, you know, because you can do
this
that.
This does not sound like a good idea.
No, you don't smell
it. The gas from the porta potties fuels your food.
Yeah, it's very ecological. It's in the book, actually. After that was done, there were no other rules. We considered it a workshop camp.
So it's a giant teach-in.
Oh, it's a giant teach-in. And there would be little signs on trees and
what
come here.
What were people teaching?
Oh, everything. There was a guy that taught a class on multiple relationships and how to handle multiple relationships. There was a great – one of my favorite ones, actually, my friend Ace from Curacao. This was back in the day. I'm older. This is Walkman time, right? And you get your cigarette pack and you take out your cellophane from the cigarette pack and you get the tinfoil part, that and a paperclip, and you'd hook it to your Walkman so you could have a solar-powered Walkman, because we had a no-battery rule. You couldn't have any battery. We couldn't use any electricity, including batteries, so you could solar-power it. It was amazing that you could do it that fast.
It was just a giant party, wasn't it?
In some ways, there was a certain hippie lifestyle that happened there. There was a lot of nudity. It was messy and it was complicated, but it was these meetings we had constantly throughout the day that kind of taught me a lot about direct democracy and the idea of process. Because, you know, what happens is, like, you want to save polar bears. It's okay, I can live with that. I want to save polar bears. But why are they losing their habitat? Okay, you get involved in capitalism. So that's easy. Okay, so now I'm against capitalism. But then you're like, well, that kind of gets involved. Why is there capitalism? That kind of gets involved in patriarchy. Well, I don't like patriarchy. So, okay, I'm going to get rid of patriarchy. And you keep layering this onion back and layering this onion back till you get to the core. And the core was direct democracy. And seeing direct democracy in action in an anarchist way at this camp for 6 weeks, where people got together every single day for hours a day to figure out problems, was amazing. It didn't work. It didn't go well. There were fights. It was a nightmare. When you get into arguments about whether or not honey is vegan or not, if we should be serving it or not for 4 hours, you do want to go crazy. But now I look back at it. I'm like, are you kidding me? It was beautiful.
So, Charles, that was then. This is 20 years later. You're not a stoned peace activist living in a tent anymore.
No, I'm not.
You're a married father of two. You've got a house, a car, a mortgage, a nice job in public radio.
Yeah, I'm your producer.
How do you look back on that experience?
Well, if you look back on it and say, did we live this novel's ideals? Absolutely not. Of course not. And so you could see it, and I think I did initially, you could see it as a failure. But dealing with direct democracy, dealing with those with less power than you, it was very powerful. And I take away from it the fact that there were a lot of people in a dirty field who slept with each other, who fought with each other, who cried together, who sat around campfires. Those people tried to make it happen. Most people don't even try. And I respect the attempt, because I now understand that the process is just as important as the end product. You know, to quote The Alchemist, right, that turning base metal into gold, that salvation is in the journey. It is.
But do you think it did actually have any real world impact?
It's hard to say. I've stayed in contact. I'm Facebook friends with a number of people from Ecotopia from that long ago. They're not like buskers in the streets with like dirty fingers from smoking too many cigarettes and they're heroin addicts. That's not what happened to people who went to these camps. They went on to get their PhDs. They went on to be, three people I know for sure, went on to be parliament members, Green Party members, one in Bulgaria and two in the Czech Republic. Leaders, one guy's now president of Friends of the Earth. You know, if I wrote a book in 1974 and someone this many years later would say that about my book, I would be very proud of it if I was him. And no, we don't live in an ecologically perfect world, but there are people out there striving, and I think that I would be proud to be a part of that process if I was him. I'm proud to be part of that process.
It also gave you a whole lot of really great stories to tell.
Yeah, I can't tell most of them on public radio, but I am proud of most of the stories.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Charles Monroe Kane is not only a former Ecotopian, he's also our producer.